Hey, since you've listened to the Rain Points, how'd I do for, would you buy a Jinsu knife from me?
Well, you're a tough act to follow. I almost feel a little reluctant to come on now and talk about this stuff because you were just like on fire the whole time.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's good to be back on there on doing the Ranty Points there, man. You know, sometimes you just got to let one go on the show. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Especially with what's going on now. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous. I don't know. It's all entertainment, I think. It's pretty crazy out there. I don't know what they're expecting from all of this impeachment stuff, all this political stuff. It's pretty crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, I really couldn't listen to it, man. I don't know. I just know they had a lot of clowns come up in there in Washington, D.C., and I know the whole thing was rigged anyway. What can you expect? But I tell you what, the show season two, if it goes up in the Senate, man, I think that's going to be entertainment right there.
But Trump is going to come out of this stronger than before. And I think he even said something like that. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see if my prediction doesn't come true. I know you're holding me to some of my predictions that I made, but if he makes it to this next election, I think he's going to win with one of the biggest landslides ever. I mean, we're talking like George Washington landslide. Wow.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Because the people who are against him are such a small minority. Mm-hmm. I mean, and everybody's doing so well right now. Mm-hmm. You can't argue with all these numbers. You know, and before the election, he said, we're going to win, win, win. We're going to be tired of winning. Well,
you know, so. I know we weren't planning on talking about political stuff, but just to kind of continue it a little bit, he said it from the very beginning, he was a genius. But I think what it really is that our elected officials are so incompetent, and they've got Washington worked in such a way as to enrich themselves that no policy makes any sense whatsoever to us out here. You know, when we go to work and we're working hard and we're paying our taxes, we're doing these things, they're up there scheming how to arrange various things. Like I was saying about the Ukraine, there is a list of people that went over there. Nancy Pelosi took a whole group of people over there. Why is everybody interested in Ukraine? Because it's where you launder money to give back to the Democrat Party. And so everybody's been over there. Biden's son's been there. Biden himself's been there. Kerry's son's been there. Mitt Romney's stepson's been there. Pelosi's people. There's so many people been over there. Hillary's been over there. It's like, what's the interest? And so that's the thing. It doesn't take much to beat these fools because they've never had a policy to make America better. So even the most average person who's not been a politician would be a gleaming genius compared to them.
Well, and what have these people really done in their public service? You look at one thing that Trump has done. Look at Trump Tower. Look at the story behind that, how he got that built. And you multiply that times 40, 50 different projects, different building, different building projects that he did or he was involved with. And you see somebody who has really accomplished a lot in his life. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. A lot of people, when they criticized him or even fans of Trump, don't know his background. And I suggest people read some of his books or just look into him because he's done a lot. And you take the whole entire Congress, and I really can't see them doing even a fraction of what one person mm-hmm. has done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would suggest all the listeners and viewers to do a little research into Trump, the man, the businessman, before he became president. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty amazing story. I admire him for that. Policies and whatever, you know, we can argue back and forth about that. But as a business person, he's pretty inspirational. So,
well, you know, one of the presidents earlier said the business of America is business. And, you know, the best way to fight crime is called a job. And with the Democrats creating policies that cost jobs, they just invite a crime wave. And so, you know, the Obama administration, Bush, Clinton, Obama, all those administrations were putting policies into place to help America go down. A slow defeat. That's what all these policies were, even back to the NAFTA agreement. I mean, there are agreements where we buy millions of cars from Japan, and we don't sell any to them. Same thing with China. And you wonder, who made these deals? What kind of trade deal is that where they can come here, dump products, and they don't buy any of our products? And all of our congresspeople, you know, Pelosi and Schumer and all these people have been in there for 40 years. Like you said, what have they done? You know, Obama's intention was to undermine coal, fracking, and oil production. And, you know, I think it's funny as hell when Trump mocks them and says, well, the Democrats are in control. So he goes, honey, we can't watch a show tonight because the windmill ain't working right now. You know, and because that's where they would have had us, you know, and that's where Obama said, you know, all these jobs are gone unless you got a magic wand. Well, all these jobs came back, like you said, and businesses and the numbers don't lie. So I don't know what they got that's going to, you know, it's going to be America's great energy independence and their financial structure now and adding trillions to our value versus free health care for all anybody who's in this country illegally. Open up borders, free drugs for everybody in the country, free education, reparations. I mean, just a free-for-all. I mean, nobody has an answer where all this stuff's come from. So
you sound like you're describing California.
Wait a minute. You know
where I'm living right now.
You know anybody lives there? Well, that brings us to monsters. because the people in Congress remind me of monsters, man. And they're like, we're like a host. And they're a parasite. They keep us just alive enough to soak us every day and to make our lives miserable while they live in their high towers and mansions. You got Obama out there talking about the earth is going to end in 12 years. So what's he do? He buys a mansion, a $30 million mansion on Martha's Vineyard right by the ocean. Wait a minute. I thought the ocean's supposed to come up there. These guys are hypocrites, man. It's one rule
Well, because the people in power and the people who have money, they know that that's BS, the whole sea level rise thing.
They know it.
I was at a my bank, talking to a banker because I was interested in possibly buying oceanfront property in Texas on the Gulf. Mm-hmm. And then he said, well, don't you believe in global warming? And mm-hmm. I said, well, your employer doesn't, Chase Bank doesn't. And he gave me this really dumb look. And I said, why is your bank writing mortgages and funding projects that are oceanside? If this was real, then banks who have a ton of money to lose, they wouldn't be financing a single oceanfront project. They wouldn't be writing mortgages for properties or anything, but they are. And I said that to the banker, and he just was like, you know, no answer. You know, you've got to take a few baby steps to think about things, you know. I think we talked about before the Russians hacked the election. Well, how? Why? You know, you've got to take these things a few baby steps ahead and ask just a few tiny little questions, and then everything falls apart. So, yeah.
Right. Ask a few questions. That's interesting because, you know, back in 2004, I started this program by listening to Art Bell at night. And I always thought, man, he'd have a guest on, but he'd ask a question, but he wouldn't press. And I'd be yelling at the radio, press him on that. Ask the next question. Ask the next question. And you're right. Nobody's asking the questions, of course, because they don't want to mess up the deal that they got. Because everybody's, you know, it's like quid pro quo is going on in Washington. You know, you fund this project. Every project that the government funds, you look into it, and you'll find their relatives in on it somewhere. You know, it was like Planned Parenthood. We give them $500 million a year. But they take $30 million and donate it back to the Democrat Party. This is how they work, man. But anyway, it's monstrous. And I don't know which monster monstrous. That it's we're going to be talking segue. About. Which monster? We can segue right into this then. If you put Congress in as a whole, and particularly your Democrats, of course, got to go there. Of all the Mexican monsters that you know about, which one would you compare them to? Which one do they fit the best?
Probably the Tlahuelpuchi, the blood-sucking witch. Maybe that would be. I don't know. But one thing I want to say before we start, because it always comes up, as you mentioned, I'm in the chat a lot. Okay, so I'll just put this out there. no, there is no dog man in Mexico, and you cannot repel the monsters with Orgone, however you say that. Okay, so we got that out of the way, all right? And Dogman doesn't fight Bigfoot in Mexico either, okay?
Okay, and there's no lesbian Bigfoots either. Is that, or no? I mean, maybe there are. There are any lesbian Bigfoots, so clear that up.
I don't think so. Never heard of that.
Okay, good.
There are two Bigfoot creatures in Mexico, though. Very interesting. And I was on a radio show on Halloween morning, the wee hours of Halloween, and it was a call-in show, Beyond Reality Radio. And someone asked about the wall, and I know you joked about it, but someone was serious and said, if Trump puts up this wall, will it inhibit Bigfoot from crossing the river and, you know, crossing? Mm-hmm. And I took it seriously, and the person was serious too, I think. But I told the person that the habitat of Bigfoot in Mexico is in the southern jungles or in the mountains in the central part of the country. The high pine forests where there are alpine conditions and actual glaciers, permanent snowfall throughout the year. A lot of people don't think of Mexico as a place where there's pine forests and glaciers. Mm-hmm. But where that is in Puebla, in the central part of the country, is so cut off from the border. In between that forested area and the border, it's desert and in a wasteland. The Bigfoot doesn't migrate through there. Mm-hmm. Maybe at one point, the habitats were connected, you know, when the climate was different in the past. Mm-hmm. But now, because there's a desert in between, there's no Bigfoot crossing the border. Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, this screenshot back here is from your website. And in any of your research, did you ever get any indication that from hieroglyphs or whatever markings they have, that is anything ever look like a portal to you?
Well, almost every ancient culture in Mexico believes that there are portals to different worlds and different dimensions. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the text and in the folklore and the oral tradition of portals. Yeah. Going to usually the underworld. And there's also different levels of heaven, different levels of, you know, the world above us, too, in some of their beliefs. But yeah, I did a show once about how volcanoes are seen as portals between the underworld and here. And now in modern times, people believe that UFOs use the volcanoes to go in and out. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing, because in your book, Mexican Monsters, the Cryptids and Legendary Creatures of Mexico, I mean, you listed a number of monsters, and it has been coming up on this show recently that, you know, when you talk about Skinwalker Ranch and various places, that where there is, you know, we could say Bigfoot, but it's not exclusive to Bigfoot for sure. I mean, you've got a whole list of monsters in there. And in the Skinwalker Ranch, the portals there, they said various monsters came out of that, including Dogman. I mean, one of them say there were two Dogman that was smoking a cigarette, but I know you got a monster in there called the Water Dog. So, you know, and Hell Dog and Angel Dog. I don't know if they fight it out or what's going on over there, but I wonder if these cryptids in Mexico, because it seems like Mexico is such a mystical place, and they've got all these pyramids and these ancient ruins, and, you know, we know there were sacrifices there. So you've got to figure that the amount of sacrifices in Mexico and in South America in general have to have put an imprint on this dimension that may still linger there, allowing the interactivity between cryptids and our existence, our alive perceived existence.
Yeah, you know, some of these creatures have been reported as coming out of caves or coming or just appearing. So if they're just appearing, maybe a portal appears and, you know, they walk through it. I did a show a few weeks ago about in the state of Guanajuato, there's a bunch of craters, and the craters are full of mystery. It's the Valle de Santiago, and people have actually claimed to have seen portals opening up and people coming in and out. There's a legend of a woman, an indigenous woman, who it seems lost. And she's carrying stuff on her back, and it seems like she only wants to talk to people, and she tries to chase people down, and then she disappears. And that's connected with one of the seven craters there that people have said that there are portals that they've mm-hmm. seen open up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, there you go. And I think a lot of cultures have the idea of a portal, you know, and then of course there's the connection with the CERN Hadron Large Collider, which people have always claimed is a humans trying to create a portal. And I'm just wondering who wrote, I'd like to see the schematic for that thing, man. Now who in the hell could come up with a schematic for a mile wide collider, you know, shooting things around there at the speed of light? How's that little beam or particle, whatever the hell they're shooting, how's that even hit the target? I mean, how's it even go around there and hit the target? I mean, that to me just, it reminds me so much of Contact, Robert, where in the movie Contact, they downloaded instructions how to build a portal machine or a transport machine to get to the alien world. You know, I'm thinking that that there's an army out there in space, okay? And it could be Bigfoot. It could be your dog guys. It could be your black-eyed children. Who knows what the hell's coming? Trying to create a portal. And they're coming in, and it's going to be bad.
I don't know. I think CERN is one of those big hoaxes, personally. I don't know. I mean, because what do they do there? We don't know. We can't see what they do. We have to, it's like NASA. We have to rely on what they tell us they do. And to me, that always raises red flags. What the heck are they doing there? Mm-hmm. You know? So, I don't know. I don't think you need a CERN to open up portals if they mm-hmm. do exist. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I know there's I forgot the name of the mountain. Maybe someone in the live chat can say, but there's a mountain out west where the Indians, they say they're the Indian Shasta. Portal. Is that what it is? And then is that
Shasta
where?
Shasta.
Right, right. And is that where the Vatican built a telescope on top of that?
No, that's in southeastern Arizona. That's mm-hmm. Mount Lemmon. No, not Mount Lemmon. Mm-hmm. It's the Lucifer telescope. Yeah, yeah. It's in southeastern Arizona. Yeah. I forget what mountain it's on.
Well, man, if the Vatican's running it, you know they're looking out in space for some little boys. They haven't got to yet. Yeah. just saying. I'm just saying, man. You're looking up. Here's a little boy. Get him. So anyway. All right. Well, one of the creatures that you listened to, and we were in the chat talking, and we had a couple people. Of course, Robert Griffith says, is NSA having fun? Some people suggested that it was when we mentioned CERN. Other people says when I mentioned Hillary's colostomy bag. So, I mean, that definitely pissed off your deep state right there, because you're not supposed to know she has one. I mean, if you look, there are pictures of her, like, with one of her famous pantsuit, and you look down the leg, it's like a big bulge there. That's a big, nasty colostomy bag filled with all kind of goo.
Well, have you noticed her recent photos, like some vacation pictures from the summer, and then also when she was on The View? She was wearing, like, this big muumuu. She's been wearing these big muumuus lately, like for a woman who's maybe 50 to 100 pounds heavier than she is. Uh-huh. And I don't know why she's wearing such puffy clothes, but maybe she's hiding something. But anyway.
I mean, what person who wants to run the free world would wear a muumuu? I mean, think about that. What woman in their right mind? I want to be leader of free. Is she going to lead the world with a muumuu? And we know she's hiding crap underneath there, Robert. I mean, I don't even want to know. But and that goes back to monsters. I mean, she sounds like some kind of witch. By the way, in your book, Mexican Monsters, do you list witches in there?
Yeah, there's a couple witches. There's actually a famous one who I actually thought I saw when I was 10 years old.
Oh, tell us about it.
It's called the Llorona, and it's a common myth throughout the Americas and into the U.S. Southwest, the American Southwest. I grew up in New Mexico. It's a state, not a country. I grew up in New Mexico, Albuquerque. And when I was a little kid, I was 10 years old, and we were crossing an arroyo, and we thought we saw this Llorona. What the Llorona is, it's an old haggard woman that lurks around sources of water like stream beds and arroyos and things like that, acequias, canals, and she's looking for children to snatch. And she does that because her husband, according to the legend, her husband cheated on her.
Whoa.
And she threw her two children into the river to drown them to spite the husband. And when the children were you know, in the river and struggling in the water, she had second thoughts, but she couldn't save them. So now she lurks around the ditches and the stream beds and things like that to search for kids. And I was with some kids of my fifth grade class. We were going to our teacher's house. We had to cross over an arroyo. We were on a bridge, and we thought we saw some old lady in the ditch wearing all black. Yeah, and we ran, and it was so funny because we ran and ran and ran our fastest, and we were laughing because we couldn't believe what we saw. We're like all tumbled, just exhausted in our laughter. But yeah, I thought I actually saw one of these monsters. Mm. Maybe that's the whole impetus of this whole thing, you know. But yeah, there are witches in my book, and that's the most famous of them. There was even a movie earlier this year about her.
You know, you just triggered a ancient memory of mine. They're talking about running and laughing. When I was in high school, I cut school with some friends, and well, back then everybody was drinking Boone's Farm, and it's like the only thing you can get is cheap, and so we were getting drunk on Boone's Farm, and we were by somebody's garage, and they called the police on us, right? So we see the police pull up there, and so we go running. Now, we're like kids, man. We've been drinking. So I guess you could say we were drunk. We're running, and one of the guys running was three of us. There was a little guy in front of me, and then me, and then a tall guy behind me. Well, we're going to jump these bushes to get away from the cop, and the little kid, he jumps in a bush. He get caught, and then I jump over him, and I fall over him, and the guy behind me, he falls over me, and we all three got caught. But we were laughing the whole way. We were laughing the whole way. It was a great time. Good times, man. Good times. So, I mean, it can happen.
And there wasn't even a witch.
No, it wasn't even a witch. Well, I don't want to talk about my stepmom right now, but you got. But, you know, wow. I put it this way. My stepmom drove a big old 1967 Buick Electra 225, black as coal. And when that thing went rolling down the street, man, I mean, you might as well say that was a witch broom right there, man. Whew. I did not want to see. That scared the crap out of me just seeing that thing pull up in the drive or whatever when I'm cutting school and I see the car going around. Wow. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's happening here. I always get a little strange when I talk to you, Robert. So
that's okay. Hey, I bring that out.
So, okay. But, hey, speaking of big black Electra 225, you got a black demon. It's a giant shark in the Gulf of California, aggressively overturns boats, attacks whales, swallows sea lions in a single bite, weighs between 50,000 and 100,000 pounds, could be a megalodon. It's as elusive as the Bigfoot. What's going on with the black demon?
It's as elusive as the Bigfoot, and we have no real physical evidence once again. But the black demon, El Demonio Negro, it started showing up in the 50s. Fishermen started seeing whales that had chunks missing from them. You know, these huge whales that were attacked by a bigger creature. Mm-hmm. And there was even a show, I forget which show, went down to the Gulf of California, the Sea of Cortez, and went looking for this black demon, but couldn't find anything. There's a lot of legends, a lot of eyewitness accounts, but there's no physical evidence, kind of like the Bigfoot.
Why is it that we can't seem to get evidence for a lot of these creatures? And by the way, you know, it's become...
Honestly, you want to know honestly what I think? I think because half of this stuff is just not true. I mean, there's no evidence for it because it doesn't exist.
Okay. Now,
I mean, that could be a reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are other reasons too, but I tend to be pretty skeptical. Mm-hmm. And I approach all of this stuff with a big dose of skepticism. Mm-hmm. I love telling the stories, believe me. I love discovering this stuff, and I love telling the stories. And there's always more stuff, it seems like, whenever I go down there, or readers and listeners will send me things. Oh, did you hear about this creature or this or whatever? I'm like, what? Where did this come from? So there's always stuff to investigate. It's a never-ending thing. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of this stuff, there is no evidence. But then, on the other hand, there's a ton of evidence and eyewitness accounts for some of these creatures. So I don't, you know.
There are, and I don't know if they're called pictographs or what they are, the ancients of Mexico, engrave things in the sides of boulders and foundations of their buildings. But there are many of those that clearly show a traditional Aztec type person in their garb talking to an alien. It's clearly a skinny alien with big, bug-eyed looking freak eyeballs. Now, that doesn't that mean that something has existed here a long time?
Well, what's making the rounds of the internet right now? There's a screaming woman. There's a screaming woman, blonde woman, being held back by her friend from the Real Housewives of whatever. And then you have a little cat in front of a plate of vegetables, and the cat says something smart. Okay. So 1,000 years from now, if somebody sees that, are they going to say, look, 1,000 years ago, cats could talk? A lot of this stuff that we're seeing depicted on cave art or in the on the walls of murals or whatever in the buildings, can we really say for real that these are actual depictions of real things? Or are they part of the imagination? So there are murals in a pyramid in Bonampak, a Maya site. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But some of the people are colored in a darker shade, like they were black, but the features are Indian. You know, they just colored the people a little darker in that instance. And a lot of people will take that and run with it and say, see, look, Africans were here in the Americas in Maya times, or the Africans founded the civilization. But you know what? In some of this artwork, we see people who are blue. So did that mean that there were blue people here? Maybe someone wants to argue that point. But I think a lot of this is artistic license. So there's the skeptic in me again. But
okay. What about the biblical stories of the giants? Having 6 fingers, 6 toes, 13 cubits high. You think those are made up?
Are there bones? I mean,
I don't know if there's bones from those specific giants, but giant bones have been found worldwide.
Yeah, well, we'd have to look at them. And you know, and I've heard that the Smithsonian dumps giants' bones into the Atlantic or whatever.
Right. Well, Mexico, I thought they hit them.
I'm sorry, what?
I thought they hit them in their underground bunker.
Oh, well, I heard a story where they took them all out on a boat and dumped them into the Atlantic. I don't know. Someone could look that up really quickly. But there is an organization in Mexico, the National Institute of Anthropology and History, out of Mexico City. And they always put the kibosh on things. When there's something weird that's found, they send people in and then they shut it down. And I think they're even better at it than the Smithsonian, because they got a lot more stuff to deal with. But there have been a lot of cases where the National Institute of Anthropology and History has sent people in and said, no more digging. Like, I'm thinking of this town called Acámbaro, and it's in central Mexico, and they uncover dinosaur figurines and people with dinosaurs. Now, young Earth creationists may believe that man existed with dinosaurs. That's a theory that's out there. But the National Institute of Anthropology and History will allow no more digging in this town to find additional figurines. They just quash it. So that could be part of the problem, too, with lack of evidence. Maybe the evidence is being found with a lot of these different things, but we're not allowed to see it because it gets taken away so quickly.
Right. It seems to me a guy named Tim Alberino, and maybe I think Steve Queller, several people went to an island. I think it was an island around Italy, and I forget the name of it, but the whole thing is filled with giant bones and graveyards. Let's get to a couple questions for you, Robert, and from your friends in the chat.
All right.
Okay,
no,
here we go.
No dogman questions, though. I will not answer that because I already did.
Okay, wait a minute. No dogman questions? Okay. Okay.
I'm only kidding.
Overbuilt Automotive. Oh, Nothing else. All right. Rose says, what do you think about reptilian shapeshifters? Are they real? Are they people who are possessed by demons? Or are they human alien hybrids?
Well, in the context of Mexico, there are creatures in the mythology and in their supposed history of shapeshifters that can go into reptilians. So that's something that they believe the Nahual is kind of like a skinwalker to the Navajo, someone who shapeshifts into something else. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of other creatures, too, that are in Mexico that fit that description. And they go back thousands of years of mm-hmm. uninterrupted history of the belief in this stuff. So once again, we're left with the question, is it real or is it not real?
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me just throw a question out to all you people in the chat. Has anybody seen a monster or felt a monster was around? Maybe you didn't see it in this dimension, but you knew there was. Does anybody feel like monsters exist or have seen a monster? Like that, or know somebody who has seen one. All right, Azur, any tales of the legend line up with others? Any tales line up with others from South America? If so, expound.
So I guess the question is, do some of these legends cross cultures, I guess, right? Are they found in other cultures? Well, yeah, they are. Mexico has their own version of the Loch Ness Monster. There are two Bigfoot creatures. There are other things. There's the black and white dog myth that you can find that also in South America. It's not just in Mexico. There are quite a few, actually, that you can find in other cultures. There's even some counterparts to the Llorona that I talked about where the woman snatches kids. You can find that in a couple of other cultures too. So yeah, I don't know what it all means, but they do exist in other places.
Mm-hmm. All right. And from Rose, what about the Chupacabra? What do you know about him?
The Chupacabra came onto the scene very late in time, in the mid-90s. And he wasn't first seen in Mexico. He was first seen in Puerto Rico. And then he became famous because of a show called Christina. And mm-hmm. it's a Cuban-American woman who hosts a show out of Miami. And people don't realize that Latin American TV stars are known by more people sometimes than American TV stars, because you have half a million people who are watching this stuff. Or not half a million, half a billion, 500 million people in Latin America sometimes will be watching these TV shows. That's the population anyway of these countries, you know, total of these countries. So she broadcasted this on Univision about the Chupacabra. And then all of a sudden people started seeing that creature in Mexico. But there are some accounts of something similar to this going back to the 1950s, but the Chupacabra per se only in the mid-90s and on, and some people are saying it's because people saw it on TV first, and then they were just ascribing that to everything that they saw. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
If you take one of your classic monsters that you talk about in your book, let's just say the water dog, Mexican lake monster, the size of an opossum to horse, known for having large fangs, rounded ears, long tail, and a hand on the end for grabbing victims and taking them down to the depths, cries like a baby to lure people. If one person was an eyewitness to that creature, saw it in the lake, saw it get up out of the, you know, walking around, you know, have some berries, go back in there, wouldn't that by necessity mean that creatures like that do exist? I mean, how many eyewitnesses would it take to prove that there is one if you yourself haven't seen one? But if somebody else has seen one, would you say then that many more creatures of various kinds would also exist?
I would say so. And in this case, that water dog, it's in the Nahuatl language of the Aztecs, it's called the Ahuizit. And it was a ferocious lake monster that they think could have been just a gigantic river otter that was in the lake, Lake Texcoco. The city of Tenochtitlan, the capital city of the Aztecs, was right in the middle of this lake. The Spanish got to the capital, you know, destroyed everything. The Spanish grew the capital and eventually drained the lake. So the habitat of this possible creature disappeared. So then the creature disappeared. That's what people say. There is even an Aztec emperor who called himself a Huitzilopochtli. That was his formal name. He named himself after this monster. Mm-hmm. So it could very well be true. There's part of that, I think, is a legend, though, because it supposedly had a long prehensile tail, like mm-hmm. a monkey, you know, mm-hmm. to grab onto things. And I think that over time with the legend just morphed into having a hand that could mm-hmm. grab a boat and capsize it and then take mm-hmm. the people down, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But I'd be inclined to believe that the Huitzilopochtli, the water dog, the lake monster of Lake Texcoco, that was probably a real creature. But the habitat's gone now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of sad, really, Robert, that the habitat of the creature is gone. Man, that's the whole thing. You know, we need to protect the planet and therefore protect our various creatures that we got living here. All right, let's more questions coming in. Tony in Louisiana, how about the giant that the army killed around Arabia? Now, that's not in Mexico, but are you familiar with that story?
Yeah, that was Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And they supposedly killed this huge giant, and that was only like 10 years ago. So I've heard that story. I don't know. You hear a story like that, and then you don't hear any follow-up. I don't mm-hmm. know what happened, mm-hmm. you know, to that. Mm-hmm. But I did hear that. The giant of Kandahar, I think they called mm-hmm. it. I don't know.
Well, we won't be talking about lesbian Bigfoots in this show. out of deference to our guest here, or transvestite, you know, or, you know, we're not going to be talking about transvestite Bigfoots either, or drag queen Bigfoots. Because, by the way, drag queens would have.
Poor woman. I forget that one guest. Yeah, that was kind of funny, but yeah, no drag queen Bigfoot.
Well, no, I mean, a drag queen does have big feet. So that, you know, they're definitely not women feet, man. They're big, smelly ass man feet, about size 13. But there's a lot of indication that those who have kind of pursued Bigfoot per se, and I'm not keen on Bigfoot, but I'm just it's such in the internet going on these days and shows various things, but they appear to disappear, and mm-hmm. the people that see them say, you know, there's footsteps, and then the footsteps just disappear. And others have said the reason for that is they're interdimensional. I could also go with the idea that perhaps they have developed a chameleon effect where they can, you know, like that's already on the planet. There's various animals that have a chameleon, you know, like the octopus. It can look exactly like whatever's surrounding. That is an amazing feature. And there's bugs that do that all over the place.
Right.
And reptilians that do that all over the place. So why would we not think that a creature, a sizable creature, could exist and simply has the same ability to blend in with its surroundings and therefore appear to disappear?
Well, you know what? Like I said to you, I'm Mr. Skeptic, but I do realize at the same time that there's a lot that we just don't know. I mean, and I don't like to fill the cracks with that sort of thinking, you know, oh, well, this disappeared. Well, it happened because this thing shapeshifts or whatever. I don't want to defer to that, but I do realize that there are a lot of things in this world that we just don't know. Mm-hmm. So we got to keep an open mind.
As I see in the live chat, Scotty says there's definitely something supernatural going on. And, you know, my experience, as if you may have heard me talk about earlier, just by perusing our audio archives. I mean, it takes you 5 minutes to scroll on that page how many interviews that I've done over the years. And so I've got sort of a consensus of what I perceive people are saying in accounts. And it appears that there is either interdimensionality to these things or there's a supernatural thing. Now, the supernatural part appears to be perceived by those who have a more spiritual way of life or spiritual dimension in their own, you know, they're more spiritual type people. They have a ability to kind of see more of the supernatural.
Predisposed.
So there you go. So wouldn't that account for some seeing creatures and some not? Certainly from a skeptic's point of view, the skeptic wouldn't see anything.
Well, maybe. I consider myself skeptical, but I'm pretty sure I did see the Llorona when I was 10, but I was just a kid, you know, so I was more innocent, I guess, and more open to things. But I think, yeah, you have to be open to things, I think, or else you're going to miss a lot. You'll miss seeing a lot of things. So it's important to have an open mind when you come to this stuff. Like I said, I'm skeptical, but there's a lot of stuff that how can I not look at this stuff and say, hey, there's something to this? There's something to all of this. Mm-hmm. When different people see the exact same thing and they're separated by 1,000 miles, when these creatures have been reported for thousands of years, that means something. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't know exactly what it means, but it's something we need to pay attention to, definitely. Mm-hmm.
I noticed that about coincidences. If you are aware that things happen for a reason, then you see more of them.
Right.
And if you don't believe that there's anything else other than your own life and it's from A to Z and you're done, you know, a straight line, then it's easy for you not to see various things that appear along the way of your life's travels. So I feel like you can almost maybe train your senses a little bit to be more perceptive of the sort of the supernatural world that I think we're immersed in. We just don't know it. I mean, all the dreams and visions that people have and various things that go on, I think that we move in and out, maybe in a dream state or maybe in a live state. Some people certainly move into that in a drug state, you know, like ayahuasca and various things. But it's interesting
peyote,
isn't it interesting though, that the people that do those drugs have the same experiences?
Yeah, and they see the same things, you know, and the same creatures. Like the flying snake is a common vision that people see in peyote trips or whatever, you know, whenever they use peyote. Mm-hmm. And some people say that that's where we get a lot of our notions of gods from, these drug trips. You know, and collective experiences when people are under the influence of these plants. So there could be something there.
Mm-hmm. From Zur, in your opinion, are these creatures terrestrial, extraterrestrial, interdimensional, or simply folklore?
All of the above. Everyone, I have, I think, 26 creatures that I look at. Some of them are definitely folklore. Some of them, like the gigantic owl, and also the gigantic river otter that's extinct, the Owisut, I think those were real creatures. Mm-hmm. Then, and also there's a gigantic cat called the Onsa that some people believe is a holdover of a prehistoric cheetah that used to roam North America. And just recently, within the past few years, someone shot one and took it to a Texas university to get it analyzed. Mm-hmm. And so it can be, to the viewer's question, I think it can be anything, you know, a combination of all of those or, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. And I don't know if we're talking about Mexican monsters, but what about the monster underneath the bed? What is that, a chupacabra? What's down? Is it a chupacabra? What is it? What is it, Robert?
There's the cucuy. And that's a Mexican monster that lives under your bed. And those people who may be in the chat who are Mexican American, or, you know, they'll know the story of the cucuy. The cucuy, it's kind of a legend that gets kids to do what their parents want them to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a typical scary type of creature, whatever.
Scam?
You know, don't stay out too late or else the cucuy will get you.
Was you going to say scam?
Did I? Was I?
A parental scam? But wait a minute, man. There's something down there.
Kids. No, but Yeah, so that's a monster under your bed, the Kukui, and that's an old. It goes back to Europe. It goes back to Celtic Europe, Western Europe. The Coco Man, they also call him too. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, is he related to the Mexican boogeyman?
Yeah.
Where's that bastard at? Is that the guy in the closet?
Yeah, same thing.
You never open the closet at night, especially around 2 o'clock. Everybody knows that, Rob.
Yeah, isn't the witching hour like 3 o'clock or
in the morning? And why is it? Are they paying attention? Peter from Australia said, do you think a lot of these creatures are egregious?
Are what?
I must be mispronouncing this. Egregores.
I'm sorry, I don't know that word.
I don't know that word either.
Egregious?
Yeah. Peter, give me another word for that. I'm going to have to get the dictionary out.
Egregious means like angry or I think.
Egregious? Right? Okay. Could be egregious. Yeah.
That's a big Scrabble word, I think.
Yeah.
Some of the creatures, well, let's run with it. If some of the creatures angry, yeah, some of them are. The Coatlacas, the second Mexican Bigfoot, there are two Mexican Bigfoot, the Sisamite that lives in the jungle and then the Coatlacas that lives in the pine forest. The Coatlacas is angry. He doesn't like people in his territory.
Oh.
The Sisamite is more of a magical creature. The Maya believe that he has magical powers. And talk about your interdimensionality. They believe that he can disappear and stuff like that. But the Coatlacas is like the buff, big, you know, excuse me, hairy creature. Mm-hmm. Like what we have in the northwest of the United States. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Well, what it is, see, I'm a cowboy, so see, I don't know these big words, but I know other words like impregnate and words like that. See, those are the only kind of words I understand. Jade says that word means autonomous psychic entity made up of and influencing the thoughts of a group of people.
Oh, okay. I think there's a word egregore that is similar to that.
That's it, and that just reminds me that definition, Robert. Reminds me of the Democrats, made up, okay, influencing the thought of a group of people. They're influencing so many people to hate Trump, and they don't even know why. They just hate him. They hate his guts because the Democrats are using psychic power on these people that sponge off the government, and they're easy to manipulate. See? Yep, I don't see how I made that connection. I can make that connection.
Egregores.
I can make that connection just about on anything. So, all right. Robert, Gladys says, have you done research on cannibal hordes coming up from Mexico and ate the inhabitants of the Chaco Canyon?
Well, that is interesting. There was some evidence of cannibalism in Chaco Canyon. That's I've been to that place. It's a very out of place site. Because it's in the United States, and it's this huge ruin. And when we think of prehistoric America, we think of mounds and arrowheads and things like that. We don't think of multi-story buildings and these huge complexes. But yeah, there was some evidence of cannibalism at Chaco Canyon, some marauders. They don't know exactly where the people came from, but maybe that was during a time of resource scarcity because the Southwest was drying up when those cultures started to fade away. So maybe resources got scarce and then their neighbors started to do that. I don't know if they came up all the way from Mexico. They could have been just local people.
Everybody in the live chat's using that word now. So, that's funny. So if I could pronounce it, I may have to add it to the Goodyear lexicon, or to Goodyear, to the Edge lexicon. All right, here's one from Overbill Automotive. Any thoughts or stories on South America's secret military cryptids? Wait a minute, is this a dogman question? Wait a minute. All right, that's in parentheses. Military cryptids or giants? I heard a story that hybrids went wild in a rebellion and they had to kill them.
Wow, I've never heard that story. I heard that the Black Eyed Kids was a military, that was a whole military creation, and those are in Mexico. But this specific story that this viewer just mentioned, I've never heard of it before.
Put Yahweh first. When is California going to join Catalina Island?
I'm not sure I understand.
By the way, Robert, let's have a discussion about California right now.
California, what? It's beautiful here. Hey, mm-hmm. I'm living the life in Southern California.
Okay, y'all got this. Y'all got these fires out there, right?
Yeah.
Now, over here in normal America, we're seeing it as that a bunch of metrosexuals over there running California are not letting the brush be cleared in the forest, and therefore they're catching on fires. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, and some of these fires are being deliberately set. There's no doubt about that. I think they don't want... I mean, if you want to look at a broader agenda and you want to go into conspiracy theory land, the people in rural California are like rural folks throughout America. They're pretty independent. They're not like the coastal people here, not even close. Mm-hmm. They're independent. They love their guns. They're patriotic.
Wow.
And they want people, yeah, you'd never think that, right? When you think of California, you don't think of some rugged rancher or lumberjack or something like that. But most of rural California is pretty hard scrabble. Mm-hmm. And they want people out of those areas. I think they'd rather herd people into the big cities mm-hmm. and have everybody. What did I see on Twitter the other day? Paul Joseph Watson, from the guy who used to be on InfoWars or whatever, he said, I refuse to eat bugs and sleep in a cubicle. So, you know, they want us to be herded into cities in these teeny tiny little apartments, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff. And they don't want mm-hmm. that. The old West still exists in California. Mm-hmm. You have to leave the cities, but these people, they don't, you know, the liberals in California don't mesh well with them. So mm-hmm. it's funny that these fires are happening in these areas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
who's all for pooping in the streets over there?
Not that again. You're destroying my image. I'm in San Diego. Hey, I party on yachts.
All right. All right. We won't go there.
Supermodels like Leonardo DiCaprio, right? That's mm-hmm.
Well, you're a businessman, okay? So where I'm going with this one is, because it's different last time, is that I understand that they're trying to force business people to clean that up. And a lot of business people...
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. You mentioned that before, and I chatted about it in the last show that you mentioned it. I actually got cited once because someone threw their kitchen trash on the side of my building. And it was a couple $100 fine. And I wasn't in yet. The inspector who was issuing tickets came by my building at like 8:30 in the morning. And I was opening at that time. I was opening at 10. So I wasn't even there yet. So I got a citation. And yeah. And then the third location that I had, I was told by, I wasn't cited. I wasn't given a ticket, but I was told that the alley behind my building was, and yeah, this was a different location. The alley behind my building, I had to clean that up. I had to make sure that the weeds were pulled. And I asked the inspector, well, whose property is that? And they said, oh, it belongs to the city. And I said, well, why doesn't the city come and clean it up then? And then he cited some law that was part of the city code that made it my responsibility. And if I didn't do it, then I would get fined. So I had to get somebody out there to clean up everything. And there was some homeless guy camping out on a tree underneath a tree near the alley. And it's just whatever.
Creepy. And it sounds like you got monsters running that state out there. All right. Anita says, what would you say about people eating faces of others running around naked? Are they monsters?
I guess by definition, I've never heard of that before.
I think that's something about bath salts. I think it's what people do when they eat bath salts. They go around eating other people's faces naked.
Oh,
man.
Is that it?
I can't keep up
with that stuff.
Crazy stuff going on. Kevin asks, what's your opinion on why most people say aliens and spirit beings encounter stank, in other words, some stench, whenever these creatures are around?
Well, because they're not from here. So you know, we're going to smell, they're going to, we probably smell to them too. So,
And this may be gross, but it just seems to me the black-eyed children. I mentioned the Vatican using a telescope to look for little boys up in space. But I'm just wondering, when they do what they do to little boys here, there's a transference there, and I'm thinking they're inhabited by demons, thus ergo turning into black-eyed children.
Well,
I might be the first one ever made that. I might be the first one to ever make that connection. Theory.
We're all supposed, you know, let's keep an open mind. I don't know, but black-eyed children, you know, that's a whole other topic. It's, you could fill a book with that whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, because some believe that they were, the U.S. military was conjuring demons. They actually had a priest who was conjuring demons to use against the Russians during the Cold War. And then this project just got out of hand and the kids escaped. And now they're running around all over the place. So, I don't know.
You talk about fairies, the Hadas. Extremely small humanoids, usually with wings, malevolent. Say the word for malevolent.
Malevolent.
And eager to play tricks on people. Many cultures have small people. I mean, the Cherokees have it. And I think we had a guest on. We were talking about the Cherokee little children. But now, do these fairies grant you wishes?
Well, there are different types. Now, I did a chapter in the book about modern day fairies. People have seen like the Tinkerbell type fairies in parks and things like that, and have photographed them and stuff. But there is a tradition in Mexico of little people. The Maya called them the Aluche, and then the Aztecs called them Chaneques. And sometimes you can call a little kid a Chaneque if he's like acting up or whatever. But these Aluche and Chaneques, they can grant you wishes, but they usually want to trick you, take stuff from you, because humans are invading their territory. So they feel like they have the right to play tricks and do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But granting wishes, no. Mm-hmm. You can, for the Aluche and the Chaneques, let's say if you're a farmer and you know that the Aluche or the Chaneque lives in your land, you'll leave him cigarettes or a bottle of tequila or something like that so that you can be left alone. So they'll grant you that wish, I guess, leaving you alone.
So if I go camping out in the forest, let's just say I got a beer can or whatever on the bench somewhere, and all of a sudden the beer can's gone or knocked over. Could I figure that was something in the forest? Then like
it could have been a Chaneque. Yeah, it could have been one of these little creatures.
Okay, so
they like alcohol for some reason. I don't know.
Okay, so I'm going camping, and I mean, do I need to leave a gift? What kind of gift would I leave the forest creature?
Well, that's what they tell you. Leave a gift, and it's usually alcohol, cigarettes, maybe a piece of food or whatever. And there are stories that.
What about a stick? How about a stick? That's all I'm going to give him. I'm just going to give him a stick.
No, that'll make him angry because you're being cheap. So, a stick? Who are you, cheapskate? I want a bottle of tequila.
That's all I'm going to give the bastards, man.
We're going to steal your car now. No, but there are some accounts like they were building a bridge near the airport of Cancun. And the bridge kept falling down. And a local Maya elder said, it's because you're not respecting the Aluche who lives in the area. So they said, okay, then you guys help us. So they contracted with a Maya shaman to come and do a little ceremony. And under this bridge, you can see a little structure that looks like a doghouse. And that's like the Aluche's little place to stay. So you can drive by that bridge. Thousands of people do that every day. They drive under that bridge and you can see that little doghouse thing. And that's supposedly the house for the spirit. And then the bridge, miraculously, the bridge never fell down again because it fell down like 3 or 4 times before they called in somebody. So,
All right. The other sider, do you know anything about the policeman who encountered a witch on patrol?
Well, there actually there's several different stories about that. There are different police officers that have encountered strange creatures. In fact, in one of these stories, I did. It's called the Man Bat. That's what they were calling it. I looked at police reports from Chihuahua that talked about the encounters that the cops had with this creature. It tore off the top of his patrol car, and there were pictures and everything. And it's like, how could that have happened, really? And it's all documented.
That sounds more like a Mothman.
There are a lot of stories that involve the police.
Is the Man Bat, is that just a version of the Mothman?
Some people say it is. Yeah. Some people say that the Man Bat, the Mothman, and the Lechuza, the gigantic owl, are all the same creature. But there are variations in them. So people are seeing different things, slightly different things. Like the Man Bat and the Mothman are very similar. But the Lechuza, the gigantic owl, it's similar in the way it behaves, but it doesn't look like it. So it would look like those other two.
Well, I mean, the reason the Mothman's in the lore is because it was, the stories were from such credible people and eyewitness accounts. So, you know, that's why that continues to be out there. Gladys says, Robert, some Hispanic school friends of mine from South Arizona told me there is a Mexican legend or superstition that the wind can grab a person and carry them aloft and drop them.
Wow, that's interesting.
Is that the wind monster?
I don't doubt that exists. I've never heard of it before. But the Mexicans believe that a lot of things happen with the wind. Like, if you're even in rural areas today, they believe that bad things come on the wind. So if you're in a bus, and I remember this all too well, you're in a bus in a rural area in Mexico, the windows will be closed because evil spirits and bad things, malaria, bad air, malaria, diseases, they still believe even to this day that bad things come on the air. So you'll be in a stuffy bus with the windows closed because people believe this still. But as far as that wind coming and picking up people, I wouldn't be surprised that that story exists at all. I've never heard of it before. But
Mickey V says, I love you, Robert. There are many creatures. Thanks for talking about them.
Well, thank you. Thanks for tuning in.
Okay. Raul says, Robert, have you heard of the black nano goo before?
Is that the black ooze that supposedly comes out of the earth? Is that what that is? Well, I've heard of it before, but not in the context of Mexico. People think that there's this black goo that has intelligence that's seeping out of the earth. That's a relatively new phenomenon, I guess.
Well, in the movie Big Trouble in Little China, they had to go down to the earth. And there was a black goo, and they say that was the blood of the earth. And
some people say that's what oil is.
And a giant spider come out and got him. Azur says, is the gigantic owl you described the one that represents the idol from the Bohemian Grove? You know, the Bohemian Grove, they're all about the owl. Of course, everybody knows there's a little bitty owl on a $1 bill. Nobody knows why there's a little bitty owl on the $1 bill. But Bohemian Grove, there's obviously the worship of an owl. So you think that big old creature they're worshiping is really this monster you're talking about?
It could very well be. I don't know. The big monster that I'm talking about, the Lechuza, I'm beginning to believe that that's a real creature. So maybe there's something they know, the elites that do Bohemian Grove, maybe there's something that they know that we don't about this creature.
Wait a minute, Robert. Are you starting to believe?
Hey.
Because in the first hour, you wasn't all that believing.
I said, I'm skeptical. But there are some of these things that I just can't turn away from. And I had experience with one of them. I admit that. People called me crazy for that even. But yeah, there's some of these things that I just can't turn away from. How can you not see this this roof torn off of a police car and police testimony. Mm-hmm. How could you not see that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, think that it's a hoax or something. I don't know. Well, I think a lot of this stuff deserves a good, thorough investigation.
I don't know if you was listening to the show when I talked about an event here in Indiana in South Bend. There's a haunted house of some kind, and there are kids and a mother, and Child Protective Services for some reason went to that house, and while they were there, they saw the kids walk up the wall backwards. And various things happened. The police car that was out there, the radio started going on and off. The seat started going back and forth, the electric seat, various things going on like that. In fact, there was so much of a haunting that they had to leave. And then somebody from one of these television ghost hunting shows bought that house. And I think they since destroyed that house. And I think they were trying, I think they got scared the crap out of because this stuff was going on for real. So there is evidence that there is another dimension, and nobody knows what type of monsters. Did you ever give a count in this book, Mexican Monsters, the Cryptids, and the Legendary Creatures of Mexico? How many monsters are in there? 10, 20, 30, what?
Well, I have 26 that I talk about, but there's others that I will talk about in the future. I just decided to compile everything in this book because I noticed from my website, Mexico Unexplained, that the monster section was always the one that was most visited and the section that people took the most interest in. And the most feedback I got was always about monsters because people were telling me their own testimonies. In fact, that big owl that I talked about, the lechuza, in the book, I actually have testimonies from people who sent me in their stories. It's pretty scary stuff.
You know, it's interesting you said that because I was reading you talking about that, how people, you got every time you do a show or something, talk about monsters, you get, you know, people tell you. And by the way, everybody in the live chat, if you got a story, man, just send it over to Robert. Is your email on your website?
Yeah, they can contact me through all there, right, or through the YouTube channel, you know, whatever. I'm easy to get a hold of.
Well, and the reason I say that, because there's at least two people that I listen to in podcasts. One of them is Wes Germer, and that is the Sasquatch Chronicles. And another one is a guest that we're going to be having coming on the program named Steve Ishdahl, who's up in Canada. But both of them get sent hundreds of stories of Bigfoot sightings. And the reason it appears to be these stories is because the people that have these stories, that have seen these monsters, didn't have anybody to tell the story too, because they would be ostracized by their own family. Even you just mentioned it yourself. When you start talking about monsters or something, people say, wait a minute, Robert, are you slipping into the abyss schizophrenia? You know, I mean, they ask you that. But so now that there's an outlet where people can go, they're telling their stories. And I think people have stories of monsters, but not everybody's crazy. And it doesn't take a lot of eyewitness accounts to say that there's something going on out there.
I agree totally. Yeah, definitely.
So, man, I tell you what, I got some monster stories myself. I may have to send them to you. 45 Lies in the live chat says Bigfoot is alive in the Northwest Territories. Now, it just seems to me that the whole thing of Mexico, they've always sort of been steeped in lore, and would call it witchcraft, but, you know, just conjuring and various things. It seems like they would be a mecca for various creatures and the sacrifices that they've done and the incantations and the various things that they've scratched into walls and caves and foundations. You know, it seems like they've been calling for these creatures. So they either have seen them or they're calling out to them because they know they exist.
And they've been doing it for thousands of years, an unbroken history. You know, in America, we have a broken history. Like the person in the chat was talking about Chaco Canyon. We don't know much about Chaco Canyon because that civilization ended, okay? And we don't know. They didn't leave a writing system. But here in Mexico, we have thousands of years of unbroken history. It's a continuation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these beliefs go way back into history and have been documented by these people who have had writing systems for thousands of years. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a lot there.
Okay. So, sure. I mean, just to rattle off a few, water dogs, small humanoids, black demons, black-eyed children. It's all from your book. Hell dog, angel dog, Cadejo, Chupacabra, Mexican Bigfoot, the Olmec Ape, Forest Guardian, Mexican Boogeyman, Fairies, Giants, Mexican Goat Man. Don't like that, dude. Though I think the back to people in San Francisco might like the Goat Man. had to stop there. Anyway, moving on. Witch owl, gigantic birds, various things. Is Trump's wall strong enough to prevent these creatures from coming up north?
No, how's it going to stop an owl? You know, it's going to, that wall has to be like, what, 500 okay. feet tall or something?
Mm-hmm. No. What about your Olmec and your water dog people? I mean, the water dog can swim around.
Like I said, the there's a desert there. It's a natural barrier. And so desert and a river. And so if these creatures do exist and they migrate, I think the population, the amount that will be affected by this is going to be very, very small,
now,
if any.
Now, Robert, in the first hour, you forbade people to talk about the dog man and right. whether or not Oregon. You knew that question was going to come from somebody. And fortunately, everybody respected your wishes. I didn't see one thing about Oregon Blaster in the live chat. But figuring that Oregon would probably injure a few of them. But what about the name of Jesus? Would that make some of these creatures go away?
Some people have said that they've invoked the name of Christ or saints or praying the rosary. You know, Mexico is a very Catholic country. And so a lot of people believe that religious incantations, bringing up the name of saints or of Jesus or Mary or whatever, will ward off these creatures. Mm-hmm. In most of the chapters that I have in the book, I do talk about how to ward off the creature. And some of this stuff is really bizarre. Like the Tlahuelpuchi, you're supposed to take off your pants, turn your right pant leg inside out, and throw your pants at the witch. And that's supposed to ward them off. I don't know. I sense a joke coming, brewing in your head.
I can't believe you said that. No, man, I can't believe me. It was something. You mean something for me? No, I was going to, I'm not saying it.
That was a setup for you.
It was.
That's what they actually believe, though. That is.
No. Okay. It is an actual belief. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Turn your pant leg inside out, take off your pants, and throw it at the witch.
There you go. And then here comes Peter Buttigieg. All right. Let's get to this one here. What's the overbill? What's the most crazy thing personally has happened to you, supernatural creepy? I mean, what's a creepy Robert story?
Well, it's probably the Llorona, that thing that happened. There's been a lot of coincidences that I've had in my life, weird things happening. Like, here's an interesting thing that I was reminded of the other day, this weird coincidence. I had my Mexican arts and crafts store in Phoenix, Arizona, before I moved to San Diego. Mm-hmm. I opened it up in 1999. And in walked through the door a guy, an old man, who made Encyclopedia Britannica film strips. One was called Pablo Boy of Mexico, and then another one was Mexican Arts and Crafts 1 and Mexican Arts and Crafts 2. He was the producer of these film strips for Encyclopedia Britannica. And I'm like, I saw those films, and that's why I started to collect all this Mexican artwork. And that's why I started my business. It was basically based on that. And the producer's standing there right in front of me. Now, that was pretty weird.
Wow.
But yeah, there's a lot of weird coincidences and stuff. And what does it mean? I don't know. But I also, when I was a kid, I thought I saw UFOs too. Mm-hmm. But well, we lived behind a power plant, and the UFOs were hovering over the power plant all the time.
Sucking
and the
power.
neighborhood kids saw them too. It wasn't just me.
Well, there you go. There's eyewitness accounts. Some of their earlier statements, it sounds like synchronicity. But now, as we're seeing behind you there are some of the things, and I think we talked about this last time. So if you get these things from Mexico, and you said, I consider Mexican people way more spiritual than say America. America's is losing its spirituality and trading it in for psychosis, really is what it is. There's a big hole there, Robert, and it's going to get filled, okay? And it's not going to be pretty.
That's true. It is very true.
And every dystopian picture of the future movie you've ever seen, all of them had the same sort of thing. People became godless. The state took over. The cities became ruinous, and there was hate and violence. This is what's going to come, because that big hole of spirituality is going to be filled with something. And so I've always seen the Mexican people as more spiritual, and that. So is that why they seem to have more monsters, because they're more sort of spiritually active?
I think they're more inclined to believe in stuff like this. Someone asked me once on another show, are Mexicans more superstitious than Americans? Now, we can get into a quagmire with that, but if you take it from the point of view that Mexicans are more superstitious than Americans, then you have more of a tendency to believe in this sort of stuff, and a more of an openness to believe in these things. But those holes that you see opening up in America are also opening up in Mexico. And so we have now the rise of death cults and all these other alternative religions, because a lot of the Mexican people who are living in abject poverty, they feel that the Catholic Church has turned their back on them. So then they turn to Lady Death, the Santa Muerte, this hideous Grim Reaper character that is a woman, but it's the Grim Reaper, and other what they call folk saints that are, in according to the Catholic Church, they're very demonic. In fact, two popes went to Mexico to address that issue of the increasing belief in these alternative religions that are mostly based on death. So it's happening there.
So the items that you deal with, it looks like you've got some in your background there.
It's a mass spectrum.
But Christmas. Assuming some things, a lot of things you get are from Mexico, right?
Yeah, I'd say 75% of my merchandise is from Mexico, then Peru and Guatemala. Okay,
and I probably asked you this last time, but is this a key interest of mine? Do you think that any of those items could come with an attachment?
Yes. And in fact, I've had people tell me that people, when I had a retail store, because now I'm in my office because the connection here is better than my home. I'm in my office, and attached to this is my warehouse with all the stuff. But when I had a retail store and I was open to the public, people would come in and say, wow, there's this feeling around this thing, or they could sense, some people were intuitive enough to sense that there were some attachments to things. I remember I had a Native American guy come in, and he bought a pot from me, and he said the pot spoke to him. But when he came up to the cash register, he put the pot down on the counter, and his elbow passed over a shallow plate of charms that I had. And he said, whoa. And he grabbed his elbow and he said, there's energy coming from these. And I said, well, yeah, those are little miracle charms. They're called milagros. He had never even heard of them before. And each one of those little milagros is a wish and has an intention attached to it. So he had sensed that just by having his arm just invade the space of this shallow dish of little charms. But yeah, I've had people come in. And I had this one woman who was an Albanian witch. That's what she called herself. Her grandmother was from Albania, and she was American. She was very weird. But she would harangue me and say that I needed to be burning incense in my store, and I needed to take care of all of these competing things that she had sensed when she walked into my store. There were competing attachments. There were attachments that didn't get along. And here I am, behind the cash register, oblivious to all of it. I never sensed anything myself, but Other people did, for sure.
Well, now, Robert, that could be a deficiency on your part now, because I'm trying to get you to head to the more supernatural area, because that's where a lot of things are happening, you know. But yeah, I mean, let me ask you this. Have you ever got any Mexican dolls and you walk in your shop and you see that little head turn?
I'm telling you, you picked something really interesting to talk about. I came into my store once and there was a sculpture of a woman, a storyteller with cats. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen a storyteller. It's like a woman sitting down and usually her children are listening to the story. But I had these with cats, and my employee is my witness. We opened the store that morning, and that sculpture had moved during the night and pushed like three or four items onto the floor, and you could see where it had moved from. And I was like, whoa, you know. And there were other times when things flew off the wall, and there were people there. So I actually did. I did see some of this stuff. There was I remember a Virgin of Guadalupe little clay figure that was on the wall. It flew off the wall while I was there with a customer. And then another time a cross fell off the wall. But yeah, but that's the sculpture with the storyteller with the cats. That was really strange. It moved during the night. I don't know how, but it did. And it pushed the other stuff off the shelf. And, you know, my employee was there. He's a teenage kid. He was like, did you do that in the middle of the night just to mess with me? It's like, dude, there's merchandise on the floor that's broken. You think I would do that to scare you? You think I'd break my own merchandise? That cost me money.
Well, now we're getting somewhere, Robert.
Uh-oh. There's hope for me, you think?
There's hope for you yet. You've been holding out on us, okay? You've been saying, you know, I wrote a book of lore and, you know, good stories and such. And meanwhile, you got freaking heads turning around and items flying off the freaking wall.
And, you know, I moved my store. I actually had three locations. And in the third location, a woman came in and she was an intuitive. She was actually a professional psychic, too. I believe she did readings and stuff on the side. Mm-hmm. But she said to me, I'm so glad you moved out of that store, because there was such an evil there. When I walked in there, I felt like the walls were pushing in on me and the ceiling was coming down on me. She said it was such a dark and evil place. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm so glad to hear that you moved. And I said, you know, one of the reasons why I moved, and she didn't know, but one of the reasons why I moved is because I was held up at gunpoint in that store. I was tied up and a customer found me.
Wow.
It took me nine months to recover from that. Yeah. So that building was evil. I told her that afterwards. I said, you know what? You were right, because I almost died there. You know,
Wow. People
always ask me about, oh, are you afraid to go shopping in Mexico? Or go to these little towns in Peru or whatever. Are you afraid of getting like ambushed by people, by even gorillas, you know, the not monkey gorillas, but, you know, rebels in the jungles of Peru or whatever. And I'm like, no, I was held up, tied up in my store. In the safest place, the colorful little world that I created. So, I mean, I'm not afraid of traveling in these countries. I mean, but if something happens to you, it happens to you, whatever.
But you did perceive that the building was evil.
When she said that, and the way she said it, how she said it, it was like, yeah, you know what? It was kind of dark and just, it was cold in the wintertime. I could never keep that place warm. Mm-hmm. You know, Phoenix doesn't get so cold in the winter, but it does get down to the low 40s at night sometimes. Mm-hmm. And when I'd open up the store, I could barely keep that place warm. I don't know.
Obviously.
There was something there.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the whole thesis behind Ghostbusters, was that the building was a giant receptor calling demon spirits. It was what it was, you know. And so I think that's probably what you had there. That infrastructure, that building probably had, you know, cannibalistic episodes going on there, and ancient druids coming there. I see Jade mentioned something called a chud, Do you know what that is?
Chud?
Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers.
That was a movie.
It was a
movie. That was like a bad movie from the 70s.
If there's
like
ever a B, that might even be a C movie right there. But it can scare the crap out of you. But Underground Dwellers, we know there's things down there, Robert. Now, you haven't mentioned anything, and I don't know if there's any of your monsters, but are there any monsters in Mexico that live underground and come up and harass the humans?
Well, I did a show about the ghosts and legends of the Mexico City subway system. And kind of like Chud, the people were living in the sewers, I guess, or these creatures were in the sewers. There are modern-day folklore. There's a lot of stories about people or creatures living underground. Like I was saying, the Mexico City subway is full of tons of stories about stuff like that. But there's a long tradition in Mexico that goes back, once again, thousands of years of an underground world. And people can access the underground world through caves and volcanoes. And creatures can come and go too through those.
Okay.
Those different things.
All right, we're gonna try and experiment here. I'm gonna get you just you in the picture here. Okay, so you obviously have objects behind you.
Yeah, this is my office.
So okay, is there stuff from Mexico back here?
Yeah, there is. I'd have to get up and do a show and tell.
But no, you don't have to. You don't have to, but there is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I want everybody to look at Robert's background, okay? because what I'm going to do is I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer. And what I'm going to try to do is upset whatever's in there. So we want to see if something moves. You ready?
Okay. Either here in this room or in my... I have a big warehouse next to this that's full of thousands of items. So
well, that's where we need to
happen there. I'll listen. But
you'll listen over there? So is this audio going over there? If you were over there, could it hear this audio?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's try it. Now, as I say it, you be perceptive to see if anything in your building moves, streaks in horror, or anything. All right, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer right here. On the S Television broadcast, we're going to try to antagonize something in Robert's building there. All right. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Forgive us for our sins. And amen. Let's see. Now listen.
I didn't hear anything, but there could be a delay.
All right, everybody. Did anybody see anything that moved in Robert's background? Hey, I always wanted to try that because scripture.
Well, when I come in on Monday morning, maybe there's going to be something that moved. I don't know.
Well, we just put that into your room, so it's there.
Okay.
Somebody said, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, and that's the most important part, to deliver us from evil, because if there is evil there, we're going to exercise it. So anyway, I want you to report back to me. Let me know if anything has moved. And of course, we speak the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus on all those items. So, Robert, I want you to report back to me if anything happened.
Okay, I will.
With that, why don't we just end the show with that. Robert Bidho, I appreciate you coming on the Edge Television broadcast. Brave soldier that you are.
It's always fun. It's always fun. And so, in a pinch, I'm always available. So, yeah, just let me know.
Okay. Any final thoughts? How do people get your book?
They can go to the website. I sell both of the books at a discount, and you can get them autographed by me and with a personalized message. That's good for Christmas coming up. They can also buy the book on Amazon or go to your local bookstore and request that they order the book. That's another way. And anybody can contact me through Facebook, Twitter, MX Unexplained, and directly through the website, MexicoUnexplained.com. Okay. I'd love to hear from everybody. Definitely.
Right. And if anybody's got any stories, they got to send them to you too.
Yes, please. Please do. I get my best material from the listeners and viewers. Definitely. All right.
Live chat, Joey Splash says, thanks, Robert. Always fascinating.
Thank you once again. Thanks to everybody in the chat.
Okay. We'll talk again.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.